Blog Talk Radio.
America. And the essence of America, the why of America, came in another document that happens to be printed. And if you have your pocket constitution, most pocket constitutions just don't print the Constitution. But they also print the Declaration of Independence. And it's a phrase that you folks here in Oklahoma, and I know at Oral Roberts, you know that phrase. And that is, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, and endowed by their certain unalienable rights, among them life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That is the essence of America. We are a country that believes in all people are equal. Now, we sort of take that for granted in America. So here we are as we accept equality, but we don't recognize where the equality comes from. We accept rights, but this administration doesn't remember where the rights come from. Our Constitution is there to do one thing, protect these rights. And as a result of that, we can have a country. We did have a country. And I believe today we still have a country that believes and functions best when we allow people to exercise these rights to do what? To pursue their dreams, to form families, to form churches, to form civic and community organizations, to build a network, a rich network of civil society, of people being connected with each other, to build schools. Look at this community. Look at this community. How knitted together this community is. How much you receive and are nurtured. Not from government, but by something that was built here. Something that feeds you in more ways than one. The richness of what Americans built based on pursuing their dreams. Pursuing one man's dream. Pursuing a community's dream. Think about what transformation you have done in the lives of millions without the government. That's what America's about.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Women Patriots. Today's definitely been a devastating day for many of us who were supporting Rick Santorum. But I'm going to start off just talking a little bit about the Constitution. That was one of Rick's favorite subjects when he was on the trail, was talking about the Declaration of Independence and our God-given rights, and about the Constitution. And as many of you know, I broadcast from Indiana. And in Indiana, we have Senator Richard Lugar, who's been our senator for so many years, I don't even know how many to count. But it's interesting that it's just been brought to light that he's not lived in Indiana since 1976 or some such thing. He has had an Indiana's driver's license. He has voted here in Indiana. However, if you go to the Constitution of the United States, Article 1, Section 3, it says the Senate of the United States shall be composed of two senators from each state, chosen by the legislature thereof for 6 years, and each senator shall have one vote. And immediately after, they shall be assembled in consequence of the first election. But it goes on in this section to tell what the qualifications of that senator should be. And it shall, no person shall be a senator who shall not have attained to the age of 30 years and been 9 years a citizen of the United States, and who shall not, when elected, be an inhabitant of the state for which he shall be chosen. Unfortunately, here in Indiana, our senator no longer lives in Indiana, but it was ruled by the attorney general years ago, whoever that may or may not have been, that it was okay for him to live here. However, if we're looking strictly at what the Constitution says, that is unconstitutional. Part of the problem has been there's been nobody actually to run against him here in the state as the Republican ticket. However, this year in Indiana, we do have Richard Murdoch, who is running for the Senate seat against Lugar on the May 8th primary. So I want to put a plug out there for Mr. Murdoch. He is a conservative. He is for limited government. He is for term limits. In fact, he self-term limited himself here in the state of Indiana for the office that he held So he would be a strong addition to the Senate, which is looking like more and more we're going to really have to go after those Senate seats. So I have a caller from 8112. I'm going to check out and see who this is. Hi, who's calling in from 8112? Or 812? Who do I have at 812? Hello? Anyone? 812 area code? Okay, nothing there.
Else?
Who do I have at 502?
Danny Schaus.
Hi, Danny. How are you?
Broken-hearted, disheartened, sad.
I know. Where do you go? I mean, twice. Twice in one campaign.
Actually, three times.
Three times for you? You were with Bachman?
Yeah, for a little bit there.
Yeah. Belly and I never quite made that leap to Michelle Bachman, but definitely was the same feeling I had when Herman Cain dropped out. My throat, stomach, and just, you know, ill. Totally speechless and unexpected, as was with Herman Cain. It's hard to speculate. Hi, Billy.
Hey, everyone.
How are you tonight?
Who's that 812? Did you already check them out?
Oh, they didn't say anything when I tried to see bring them live mic, so I'm not sure who's there. I just got silent mic. I don't know if you can check and see or
all
not.
Right, hi, who do we have with area code 812? Can you hear me okay?
Oh, now we got
you. I hear you fine.
Okay.
Okay.
Who is this?
My name's Abby.
Oh, hi, Abby.
Hi, it's Abby.
Brenda. How are you? Abby's from the great state of Indiana. We have yet
yes,
to make
really.
Our voices heard, so he's calling
I
in.
I know. We worked so hard to get him on the ballot, and
oh, I know.
The
and
excitement
we were just
here, I've never seen... I'm telling you, I've never seen excitement over politics. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
People who are normally not excited about this stuff. They were
right.
pumped that finally their voice could be heard, but I feel very heartbroken. I know
yes.
that sounds ridiculous. I feel like a 14-year-old girl whose boyfriend just broke up with her. I mean, I feel really heartbroken, but game on doesn't mean game over. So I don't know where to take it from there, but... we'll have to figure something out.
Well, you know, I think that's where a lot of people are. Danny and Billy, this is Abby. She's from Southern Indiana. I'm from Fort Wayne, Indiana, and we were just getting ready to have our planning meeting for the city of Fort Wayne tomorrow night for Rick Santorum. In fact, I was doing a sine wave tomorrow in Angola for Rick Santorum, and I have signs in the back of my car. So. This was just totally unexpected. I'm not even sure Rick mm-hmm. knew that this was going to happen, you know, up until maybe today or last night or, you know, because they posted the schedule. It's just, I am totally speechless. And then at the same time, the arrogance of a Newt Gingrich and a Ron Paul.
The nerve. And here's one more thing, I'm just throwing this out there. For the first time in probably about maybe 10 days or so, Rick Santorum got some good coverage on Fox News, and it was positive about such a great campaign he had and about how he made such a difference in the conservative movement and all the excitement that he's generated within the party. Really? Okay, where were they 10 days ago? We could have really used a little bit of support. I'm just really upset with the media.
Well,
on this. Now they're all friendly with Rick Santorum. I can't.
Well,
oh,
they had the impact. Billy and Danny and I went through this with Herman Cain because we had been campaigning for him back in October, November, and when he was forced out in December by the media, we were very devastated because once again we were expecting him to announce that he was staying in. In fact, that's the word we were getting out of the campaign, even up to the night before that he dropped from the race. So we mm-hmm. had that same feeling that I got today when I turned on and Carl Cameron was saying Rick was going to announce he was suspending his campaign, and I'm just like, what?
No kidding.
Not again. You know, not again.
Yeah.
But I think there's underlying circumstances in both cases that we may or may not know about. You know, it's kind of suspicious coming on the tail of little Bella being in the hospital, you know, this past weekend and going home yesterday. Whether that has, I'm sure that has something to do with it, because before that he was saying all the way to Texas.
Yeah.
And so I think that may have come into play somewhat in the decision, although, you know, we may never really know actually what he was thinking. So, but what he did not do today, guys, is he did not endorse Mitt Romney. He did not throw his support behind Mitt Romney, if anybody listened to his speech. So, you know, I don't know if that has to do with he's trying to wrap up his campaign first and, you know, settle debts, or whether he's going to let the people vote this out, because he is still on the ballot here in Indiana. He's still on the ballot in Pennsylvania. So if the people so choose, they still have a choice. But that's going to be just, I mean, everybody's going to have to look deep and kind of decide where they're at. I know Abby, Billy and I and Danny, we've all did a lot of research on the candidates right after Herman Cain dropped out.
Uh-huh.
So we know quite a bit about them. I know that I will not vote for Newt or Ron Paul. I will vote Rick in the primaries, and I will vote for the nominee in November. But I'm not going to actually, you know, go there in the primary season with another candidate. So.
No, I'm with you on that one, and it just it pains me to
I know.
Say it. Just you know, and I honestly I cried.
Yeah,
I work at a bank, and I walked out of the. Of course, you know, I've got my phone on silent and everything, but I just about 2:30 or something this afternoon, I thought, you know, I'm going to just get on Facebook because it was slow.
Oh.
And so I just kind of got on there, and I saw I have an app, and it said that, you know, there's a Rick Santorum was suspending his campaign, and I might as well have just gone home then, because I did nothing productive. My head was somewhere else, and I walked out of the bank, and I just felt really upset. I felt devastated.
Yeah.
And then I come home, and I've got all these Santorum signs, and I've got bumper stickers. And, you know, we already had one sine wave over here in Terre Haute, and we were going to have another one. And I had a whole, I have a whole list of people that, you know, I was supposed to, you know, follow up with this week, and all this stuff, but
same here.
I know,
sent out about 54 emails this week. So, man. You know.
And I'm a terrible loser. Terrible. This proves it. Oh, I'm very competitive, and I am a terrible loser. If any of you guys are friends with me on Facebook, you're probably like, okay, girl, lick your wounds and get over it.
Well, you know, my whole thing.
No, go ahead.
My
Billy.
Whole thing is that. It kind of sucks that the only one that really can win, that has won with us, that has all of our support and everything, he didn't really lose, but he quit. And it kind of felt to me like a betrayal.
Again.
And that's
right,
how
Billy?
I felt. That's exactly how I felt with Herman Cain.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it's like we feel like we have nothing to fall back on because there's absolutely no way I'm voting for Newt. I really am very, there's a very slight chance I'll vote for Romney. I used to be anybody but Obama. I always would say that, but you know, I've heard some other people talk about it and everything. And I've listened to some of these, you know, I've read a lot of Facebook pages and stuff. And I can understand the convictions of those diehard conservatives who said, well, we didn't vote during McCain. Why? Because nobody had our interests at heart. And I feel like Romney doesn't really have our interests at heart.
Right. You're exactly
Santorum
right.
Made it clear. And that's where it becomes like we're left out in the wilderness.
Right. And even though, you know, he obviously has his family and his concerns going on, you know, and
right,
and I know
and
we had the same
so
thing with Herman
for little Bella.
I know. And I really feel that that must have something to play with this. Because you could see on their faces that this was not a decision mm-hmm. taken lightly to stop. Particularly because Pennsylvania
well,
is its
own
state.
You know, it's like at the moment he's got two choices. Either try to bring up his campaign in Pennsylvania or take care of his daughter.
Right.
And he of course chose the one that I would choose too.
Well, yeah, which is why we support him. But
right.
By the same token.
Well, and the truth is that, you know, everyone says, well, now the choice is clear. Whatever, they've been saying that for months, and the choice has never been clear.
No,
I mean, for me it was clear, but not for them it was so clear. But now they're saying, oh, well, now it's obvious it's going to be Ron. Well, you know what? He hasn't earned my vote.
No. Hasn't earned
in my
vote.
Opinion. He's got a lot of earning to do, and that's going to be a problem for him. And it is, I'm sorry, that's his own fault. He is not the clear choice. And maybe it's not his fault. Maybe it's the media's fault. I don't know. I have a PR degree, and I don't like the media. My mom doesn't get it.
Yeah.
She says, you think you like the media? And I'm like, I think I know too much about the media.
Right.
Yeah.
We all do, unfortunately. Unfortunately, there's a lot of people out there that rely totally on the media for their information.
Well, yeah.
And
even with a PR degree, you rely on the public, not the media.
Yeah. But it's like if you go to these, you know, blogs and see these comments that are just, you know, off the wall crazy stuff, and you know these people are getting their information from the media or from it's being fed to them instead of actually researching for themselves to see what's going on. And unfortunately, there are a lot of people out there like that, and Obama could very well end up back in office. And I'm not – I have talked about it in the past on our show. And I'm seeing a lot of people saying they're not going to vote for Mitt in the November primaries. They're going to vote third party or conservative party. And I will address that. But right now I got to grieve my grief. And
I still want to vote tonight. I'm sorry. I feel like I still need a pity party. Like I said, I'm a terrible loser. Horrible.
Yeah, I know how that goes too.
I won't even lie.
We didn't.
Yeah, you know, it becomes so competitive that you know that nothing can get done right unless you do it yourself. That's when you know that you're really competitive.
Well,
that's how I am.
That point yet, Billy? Did you?
What? But
especially when we work so hard.
But
that's exactly what she's saying in my
duty.
Book. That's how I feel. It's like nothing can get done right unless you do it yourself.
Yeah,
it's just you can't really rely on anybody else to do anything for you because it's just not done right, and it just ends up losing.
And that's what this kind of feels
you.
Like. You know, when Rick, you know, said he suspended his campaign, it just felt like he was just tromping on my crushing.
Yeah,
my heart.
There's my heart crumbled up.
Yeah,
for everyone to see.
For hustling.
A lot of people are saying that this is going to save him in 2020.
Well, we aren't going to have a country in 2020 if we don't get things settled before this next election.
I know.
And this is what is going to be bringing
out.
To
me, with Romney as the front runner, we just gave Obama 4 more years.
I know.
Yeah, we did.
Unless we can get people out to the polls, and I don't know how we're going to do that. And that's going to have to be our goal because Obama is not about America and our sovereignty and not about freedoms, and we have to get him out. We won't have a country if we don't. And whether, you know, if that means supporting Mitt Romney, and here's the thing, he's already playing the 1% card, which I knew he was going to play. What is Romney's answer to that? The man is worth $100 million. He doesn't have an answer to that.
He doesn't have an answer to health care.
Right.
I mean,
nope.
That was apparent. I mean, it's been apparent the whole time, but it's really been brought out into the even in the mainstream, I can't believe I actually spent like 20 minutes of my life watching MSNBC. I'm admitting it. But I did. But then I thought, wow, listen to this, because there's a clip Obama himself saying, oh, really? Well, it worked out pretty good in Massachusetts and blah, 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 Massachusetts and the governor of Massachusetts for the whole time.
I know.
And I'm like, oh, my gosh, it hasn't even started and it has started already.
Right.
So, you're right. He doesn't have a prayer on that. And I can't back him up.
No,
What are my family and friends going to say? Well, Abby, what do you think about this? And Romney said that. I'm just going to have to sit there and say, well, I don't know what to tell you.
Yes, and I had this conversation actually with my doctor friend, and he called me today, and I could have just smacked him. He called me like right after. Actually, he was offering condolences in his way, but he reminded me that I said I would vote for Mitt Romney if he was the nominee in November. Because we made a deal. He was going to vote for Santorum, and I would vote for Romney. But, you know, it's like, I really don't want to talk about it right now because I am just so devastated. You know, I am devastated.
Upset.
You put your heart and soul into it, and you're working hard and taking hours and just researching, and you get to where you can recite their stance on the issues verbatim.
Oh,
and then all of a sudden, you're like, oh, great.
Yeah.
You know? And I'm really kind of sick today because there is no other choice. We don't have another, despite what Newt Gingrich tries to say, okay? Newt Gingrich sat on a couch with Nancy Pelosi for global warming, and Newt Gingrich did an educational tour with Al Sharpton. Now, that, to me, does not show good judgment of character for who your friends are.
No.
And, you know, that along
plus
with
he's lofty. He's just like in another realm. I can't relate to that. I can't wrap my mind around
will.
His thought process.
Yeah, I don't think anybody can put their mind around any thought process of Newt.
And he's got a lot of good ideas, but, you know,
well, see,
that's
this
what
is
he
the
is.
Thing. Do we really want, okay, we have like two options right now. If we look at the fact that, if we're looking at Newt as a possible option, do we want a pretty much ignorant liberal, which is Obama, or a very wise progressive in the office? And to me, I think the wise progressive is the worst choice. And that's new.
Oh, yeah.
And that's new.
Because he's wise enough to be able to connive and con conservatives into believing he's actually conservative.
True.
Well,
some of us. Not
go
all
ahead,
of
Danny.
Us. Of course, some of us
ahead,
are.
Danny,
are,
Danny you wanted know. To say something there. What you got
go
to
ahead,
say,
Danny?
Danny?
Well, I mean, Newt did it because look how many conservatives he had backing him.
Yeah. Well, and in my opinion, he cost Rick Santorum the nomination because if he had dropped out.
Yes, he did. Oh,
if
tell him. Go on.
For Michigan, Rick would have won Michigan and Ohio, and this would have whole, been
and
a whole different race. And,
yeah.
You know, if
exactly. Had Newt dropped out when he first started going downward is what I think.
Well, he was out of
he
money.
Needed to save face then.
He didn't campaign in Colorado, Minnesota, or Missouri because he had no money. He went to Las Vegas to make a deal with this billionaire gambler who doesn't like Rick Santorum and didn't want Rick in. So the only reason Newt was in this race was so that Rick wouldn't get the nomination. And I'm sorry. It's all. I was willing to give Newt a chance when I saw him debate Herman Cain, Lincoln Douglas style because I thought, well, maybe he really has changed. But he has.
Right.
Newt is all about Newt. It's all about his arrogance and his ego. It has nothing to do with the conservative cause because if it did, he would have dropped out and backed Santorum because he knows that Rick Santorum is a conservative. You know, he knows
exactly.
That.
That's right.
And yet he attacked Rick on being a big government guy. And And then when he
and he called him Junior off. Something.
Yeah.
Something Junior. Oh,
yeah.
that really, I was like, oh, no.
Yeah.
And then he said something about setting up a colony on the moon. I'm like, okay, I'm over it. I'm so done. I can't even listen. I can't even listen to it.
Yeah, especially
I
when
know.
We have no jobs. I'm worried about that moon colony right now because, you know, we have no jobs. But, you know.
Yeah, let's go ahead and, whatever.
It's about priorities, you know, kind of thing. But yes. And
you know, it's not even the jobs right now so much as it is stop the spending excessively and lighten the taxes on businesses because after you do those two things, the jobs will grow.
Right.
And stop the
job,
regulations because those regulations are killing businesses. And, I mean, they just recently shut down coal mines or coal factories.
Oh, yeah.
Any kind of coal heat that was being generated, the EPA just shut down.
Yeah.
And that's ridiculous. How many jobs did we lose?
Yeah. Did you notice the Romney piece from a few years back that he was shutting down coal plants because of the pollution they were causing in the air? Yeah. Did you notice that? You see, here's
all the
problem.
CO2.
Here's the problem we're going to have running in November. And I just can't believe the establishment elite don't see it. And maybe they do. I mean, I've read articles where they think that nobody can beat Obama, so they're going to run Romney anyway. But it's all about the money, folks. Romney was declared the nominee before the first vote was ever cast. And whatever it took, that's what the media was going to do to make it happen. And this is why, come May 8th, I'm casting my vote for Rick Santorum because he's on the Indiana ballot. I work for him to be there, and I work for him hard, and I will vote for him in May. And perchance he pulls off that and gets delegates, good for him. But you know, that is what
on principle, I'm voting that way on principle.
Right.
I honestly think that if people in Pennsylvania start realizing, start coming to their senses, and if he were to win Pennsylvania not being in the race, then he'll come back.
I mean, that's where our prayer should be going, is that maybe the people of Pennsylvania will be upset
but
that
they
didn't get a vote.
But that's what we said about Kane, too. Remember we said that about Kane, too?
No, but that was how many months? That was a long time. You know, that was back. He quit in early December.
That was when we were saying Iowa. He'll still win Iowa, we kept saying.
But, you know,
right in for Kane.
It took you and I almost that full 4 weeks to come around.
It wasn't until the Iowa caucus that we really, right before the Iowa caucus, when I really thought, okay, well, his name wasn't even on the ballot.
Yeah.
It was on the ballot, wasn't it?
Yeah, they were all on the ballot. Kane was on the ballot. Some people did caucus for him there, so.
Yeah, he got like 6 votes in Iowa, though.
Yeah, but it took us, Abby, almost that amount of time to get over Herman Kane to actually decide on
it's horrible.
Candidate. So,
And here's the thing, is that my mom has not called me, and neither has my grandfather, because they know I'm probably, like, sitting in a corner, sucking my thumb. It's horrible. Oh,
well,
it's so bad.
I can't imagine people who go through
I'm
this
laughing
year
now.
After year, you know, because this is politics, and it's not pretty. It's kind of ugly, actually.
No.
This is my
no,
first
okay.
foray
you know
into
what?
The politics, and it's like, wow.
Oh, it is true. Okay, here's the truth. I love politics, and it's so weird because I hate losing, so I don't know if that's like an oxymoron or what. But, okay, looking ahead, right, because I'm trying to do what my grandma always said and just find the silver lining somewhere, so I'm digging deep. But let's just say that Romney's going to win the nomination, and that he's going to go up against Obama, and he's going to lose, and Obama's going to get another 4 years. That could be That could be a good thing. And the reason why I say it is because Romney would be a weak Republican president. And
he's not even Republican in my book.
Me neither. But he is... like if you look ahead 4 years, he would be up for re-election, and he's not really who we want to be re-elected. We want a real conservative there. So, would it be easier?
I hear from a lot of conservatives is we'd rather have 4 more years of Obama than have 8 years possible of Romney.
Okay, yeah, because then we could lose that election too. To the left, and that would be detrimental. That could be a total of 16 years, and that's a generation almost of voters.
Here's the problem, and I think Danny wanted to say something. Go ahead, Danny. Mm-hmm.
The biggest danger of Obama getting reelected as a Supreme Court pick.
Absolutely, not just that.
Ooh, good point.
There is Iran and their nuclear bomb. Okay, we may not last 4 years more under Obama, and people are going to think I'm extreme, or maybe I'm a little crazy. But watching what he's doing with his politics, and what he's doing with the blacks in America, how he's encouraging the racial tensions and the violence.
Right.
We will not survive 4 years of Obama.
Well,
that
this is
honestly what I believe.
And you've heard me say this before, Brenda, is if Obama's reelected, it won't be 4 more years of Obama. It'll be 40 more years because he'll turn us into a dictatorship.
That's what he's trying to do.
Right.
And
that's
right
what
now
he's aiming for.
Oh, I know. We, world leader with the UN. So it's
terrible.
It's scary. This is what I told my doctor friend. You know, I said, I'm just devastated because I really don't think Mitt's going to win. And I said, and that scares me. You know, so here's what I'm looking at, what I'm going to have to do. You know, I can't really say a whole lot of good things about Romney. I can say, one, that he was born in America. he was born in America. Okay.
Hey, you know what? And that's a positive thing. So, ain't it great?
I mean, that's one thing I can say for certain about him is that he was born in America and that he stands with Israel, okay, which we know Obama does not. However,
right.
That being said, we're going to have a whole uphill battle to convince the general public that Romney's not part of the problem as being as 1% because he's going to be – this is what Obama wanted all along. They played right into his hands, you know, with his Occupy Wall Street and the 1%. And the establishment RNC played right into their hands by giving them the candidate that is worth the most money, is part of Wall Street's problem, is part of the 1%, you know.
Started the health care nonsense.
Mandated health care, yes, exactly.
Oh.
Even though state level, but nobody's going to get that because most people aren't that educated about the Constitution.
Right.
And it's just
thought that none of us were that educated about the Constitution because when he said what he said as a constitutional lawyer, and we called him out on it, the conservatives,
Obama.
He had to actually backtrack his butt.
Obama or?
Obama.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't even know who you're talking about.
Oh, I'm talking about Obama ruining our country with not even knowing the Constitution.
Well,
and a constitutional lawyer.
He disregards it. Because he believes it's an outdated document, and he doesn't have to follow it, except for when it behooves him to bring it up. And the same thing today. Oh, you should have heard him. I heard him. He had a speech on, and I just told my husband, turn out, we're proud to be America. America, you know, I'm just thinking, oh, my God, who is this double personality person who is undermining America? In one instance,
they're drinking
there, you know,
the Kool-Aid because he's going out to serve the Kool-Aid, but behind their back, he is doing the opposite, and they aren't even looking.
I know.
He's doctoring the drink, you know.
I don't remember what radio host it was. It might have been Mark Levin, somebody like that. But anyway, so he said, you know, I refuse to think that Obama is an idiot, that he is ignorant on this whole thing. It's not that he doesn't know what the Constitution says. He knows it.
Oh, he knows
it. He has
it.
A hidden agenda.
He does.
He knows what is constitutional
he
and what
thinks
is not.
We don't know what it says.
Well,
yeah.
He really does. He
don't.
Thinks we are idiots. He thinks he's talking to a bunch of people that if he says the sky is brown, they're going to listen and say, oh, it's brown.
Yeah.
You
know?
Fortunately for us, we have the Bible Belt, and we have the Midwest, and we have those of us who cling to our Bibles and our guns, who are educated and who understand what is going on. Unfortunately, in a lot of places where the Democrats have strongholds, it's poor income. They haven't figured out that in the 40 years, you know, that the Democrats haven't helped them a bit. They're not getting better. There's more crime in those areas. Their education is going downhill, and they haven't figured out yet that it's the wrong way to go. And these are the people that they have a stranglehold on, those who don't have any really education, not even high school, because of the quality of the schools that they go to. And
how do we combat that?
I blame
that?
A lot of our education problems. A lot of our education problems I blame on that darned old No Child Left Behind, because kids were graduating without an education.
Yeah. Yeah.
It happened way before then.
What's that? Danny, what'd you say?
The education was going down way before the No Child Left Behind.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's been, well, you all have heard me talk about, Abby probably hasn't, the list, the communist list. And education is one of the things on that list in order to have a takeover of the United States. You know, they have to dumb down our education and system. So, you know, that's part of the agenda. It's been going on since in the 60s. McCarthy was right. McCarthy was not a lunatic. This infiltration of our country and has been going on slowly over the years. And they thought, I think they really think, because if you go to Washington, D.C., Abby, I don't live in a big city. Fort Wayne, technically second biggest city in Indiana, but it's not a big city feel, you know, like in Indianapolis or something. And we usually
right.
go Republican here because we're very, very conservative, city of churches. But that being said, and I forgot what I was going
to
say.
We're also beside
speaking
ourselves.
Of education, here's a little piece of trivia. Does everybody know that the four presidents on Mount Rushmore were all homeschooled?
Really? Well, you know that
most
people were either homeschooled or one-room schooled back in the day because...
It was actually built as a monument to homeschooling.
Wow.
It has seen that way more than it's built that way, but...
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
That
look
is
it up.
Yes, to know.
That's pretty cool.
But, yeah, but you were asking how we combat that, and I don't know. I don't have any answer.
Homeschool. That's just it. That's
no,
what we got to do.
The inner cities, Billy. The inner cities where the problem is. Where we can't
they
know because they're not going to listen to us because, you know, we're the racists and we're the bad people. You know, I think this is one area where Herman Cain can help the cause. And Adam West, or it's not Adam West, is it?
Alan. You're thinking of Batman, honey.
Batman.
It's been a
bad
day. I'm sorry, guys. I really apologize.
Alan West.
You know what? I appreciate that you're having this call because I'm starting to feel better.
Yeah,
I don't know
good.
If it's the female thing. I just got to talk it through. But really, I was not having a good afternoon.
Yeah.
It was very detrimental. But
what
do you
do,
right?
What do you do? Yeah.
I started pulling parts of my house apart and started cleaning and doing things I'd never done.
I will. I'm not kidding. I put on my
Finding
Facebook
Dust
page that I was going to watch Lifetime. I was going to watch Lifetime movies and eat bonbons. I couldn't believe it.
Well, here's what I asked my husband to do because he's been watching Fox News and I haven't. I said, I want you to, the least you can do for me is to turn Fox News off for a month. And I recommend to anybody out there listening because they need to get the message. Do not turn on Fox News for a month. Watch the ratings drop. And then send them an email to tell them exactly why you turned the TV off. Because we have to make our voices heard. But I think Alan West, Herman Cain, and some of these other conservatives, like, is it Thomas Sowell? How do you know?
Even Deneen Borelli, the one who wrote the book Blacklash.
Yeah. And C.L. Bryant. They need to get into these communities, and I know some of them are
Martin
talking about that.
What's Martin Luther King's niece's name?
That's Dr.
She's on
Alveda.
Yeah.
Alveda King?
Awesome.
I love
her. Yeah,
I think
awesome. That is her first name.
Yes.
Alveda.
Mm-hmm.
I always think of Velveeta cheese.
She was actually with the Herman Cain campaign. She was a spokesman a lot of times for him. So, But she does speak out. She does speak out, and Abby, I don't know if you've heard this, but see, they also get put down and called names and called just like you or I when we voice
Oreo, they say they're
Oreo.
White on the inside and black on the outside.
Oh, they're treated like beyond third class citizens. They're treated like trash.
Right.
Right.
They're talked to like trash. It's horrible.
And this
horrible.
Is why we all need to stand up together. And I think this is what Rick Santorum has done for us. This is what Herman Cain
mm-hmm.
started doing for us. Is giving us that voice. We have got to quit cowering because they're going to call us names. You know, we have got to say no.
The biggest problem, biggest problem is there's people out there still who try telling them telling black people you are entitled to something because one of your ancestors somewhere down the line was a slave and they were brutalized somehow, some way, just because they were a slave. Now, and they're convinced of this. They really believe they're entitled to something. They deserve government paying their whole life blood, you know, because someone in their family was brutalized by a white man. Now, the fact is, though, and this is something I found in my slavery class. I took an actual class in college on slavery, where a lot of the slaves were actually, they were willed by the slave owner their land. They were only supposed to be slaves for 7 years and stuff. They were, they had contracts, literal contracts, with their slave owners to get lots of money from a wealthy person. Now, this is where the president doesn't want to make how make it show how trickle down really did work back in the day of slavery, even, because it still works. It just can't work when Democrats are putting Keynesian in the mix.
Right, and not just the Democrats. The whole government is out of control with the regulations and the money.
Well, I'm talking about the economy, the way the economy goes. And but black people, to some degree, feel they do deserve something for nothing, only because someone somewhere in their family may or may not have been a slave at one point.
And that's the question.
And that's ridiculous.
May or may not have been. You know, and it was the people who sold these people into slavery were black people.
And
they
the only
slaves.
Thing that makes them entitled is the color of their skin.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So even if they came here and they were naturalized citizens from, oh, let's say, Kenya, and they've been here since 1970, when slavery was gone and abolished and everything, long gone, they still are entitled to all the benefits of just being black. But the only reason those entitlements are so strict and so strong are simply because they get a they felt that slavery disenchanted them. And that disenchantment has caused them to not want, you know, feel angst against America because of that.
And what's so unfortunate is that there are so many people that are smart, young, educated, college educated, black Americans, and they are falling for the lie. They're being used, and that's what makes me mad. They're being used. Their vote is so taken advantage of. It's not even fair. It's not even a fair argument. It's just it's embarrassing.
Yeah, not as bad as ours, but the conservative Americans have been disowned by the Republican Party, even though we are the base of the party. And what I am actually thinking, and I don't want to do it for 2012 because I feel that we have to win this election. I don't care if it is Romney. You know, he at least is an American, and he does stand with Israel. And but
that's a big deal.
Yeah,
the standing with Israel versus
nuclear weapon thing is a scary thing. So So we need to maybe look at forming that third party for the 2014 races. We already have the Tea Party fraction. We get the evangelical fraction. And we get ourselves a conservative party based on the conservative platform that the RNC is determined to try to wipe out from America, because most likely they have people in their midst who also are not proud to be American, as Michelle Obama so elegantly stated after her husband was elected.
Big thing.
Yes. Is it not?
There is a Constitution Party.
Yes, I saw that. I haven't actually looked at their platform real well because I want to go over that, because I don't want to go libertarian like, you know, the Ron Paul folks with no federal government. I mean, that's not an answer, not in this day and age. But I was going to take a look at that, Danny, because and see where they actually stand on their platform and their issues, because there's a far radical right which is the Ron Paul group, which almost like Billy has said in the past, you almost go totally left when you go there because...
Yeah, it's so far around the corner. It's
right. And you're back to, we're not standing for Israel. And we, the United States, are the last superpower in this world that is going to stand up for the rest of the world. And that's another reason why this election is so important. This president we have wants to give our missile defense technology to Russia. He wants to cut our nuclear supply. At the same time, he's negotiating with terrorists, the Taliban, and Iran.
The Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt.
Yes, exactly. Giving him billions, him and Hillary Clinton going behind Congress and giving billions of dollars to the Muslim Brotherhood in England, who are terrorists.
Plus, he wants to tell
America.
Me what to do.
Well, that too.
I don't like that. I'm
that
a little
too.
More independent than that. I can't,
yes.
I'm a grown adult.
Right.
I do not need someone telling me what to do.
Yeah,
I mean, if
you got your carrot packed or your lunch is going to get sent home from the bank.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. The thing is, if purchasing, for example, we'll talk about healthcare. If purchasing healthcare is a good thing for me, and maybe I should do it. But you know what? I want to be able to say, yeah, I think I should do it. I'm grown. Hello.
Right.
Come on.
And let me tell you, I am in the healthcare profession, and if Obamacare goes through, we are in big time trouble with our healthcare.
Big trouble.
Big trouble.
Oh,
it's,
yeah.
It's already going down.
First of all, you got to look at the going in and coming out. There's a lot of doctors early retiring because of it, and there's a lot of people not choosing to go into the medical profession now because of it.
Right.
Right.
And with good reason. You can't make any money.
Right.
And
well,
so,
no, see, it's not all about making money. It is about helping people.
Well, it is.
And
not
we
money.
All know.
But you have to make money to support your office and to hire your
exactly,
workers.
Though.
And they're not
and
making
that's the
enough
thing.
To do that. That's the problem. The problem is they're not making enough to not only pay for their education, support their families, but to pay people to work for them. So you see the cuts coming, and you get these cuts coming, and what does that do to your overall health care? Your overall health care goes downhill. But the
right,
cuts
you
got to
buy
come.
Second-class machinery or second-class drugs to fill. And
first, they start with
whatever.
The staff. So, you know, you don't have the staffing you need to adequately provide the patient care, you know. So patient care suffers right up front. And then you will see less and less. You won't see the technology going into our health care. And even under this bill, you will see the death panels like Sarah Palin. It's not called a death panel, but it's an ethical panel. That's going to be not an elected panel, but just appointed to oversee, you know, whether or not if you're 70 years of age, and I hope there's some seniors out there listening.
You mean like they're unelected men, kind of like how the Supreme Court are unelected. Ooh.
No, I mean like just the czars that are, because the Supreme Court is actually in the Constitution and is a constitution.
That's exactly right,
Constitution, whereas these czars, and these committees that the president appoints, those are not in the Constitution. Those are not, you know.
I wish more people understood that. There is a difference. I don't understand. Oh, my gosh.
It's a huge difference. It's a huge difference.
And huge difference.
And here's my theory, because, you know, they want to raise the retirement age, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
To what age, guys?
70, isn't it?
Yeah. 105.
67 and then probably 70, okay? But then, if you go into the hospital at age 70 and you've had a stroke or you've had a major heart attack and you need major surgery and these kind of treatments you need to do within the first hour if you're going to have good results. But the doctors aren't going to know if they're going to get paid until this panel looks at the situation and decides.
That's
so what
right.
is that going to do?
Decision.
What is that going to do to that patient? You think they're going to get treatment?
Mm-mm.
No. And this is how the government under the Democrats is going to solve their problem with Medicare. They're going to raise the age, and then they're not going to provide services to you, and you're just all going to die. So, you know, hey, great plan, population control. You know, these people that are no longer viable citizens of the United States of America, and that is in Obamacare. And this
well,
is so much
like, you know,
we
right to life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. You can't even honor right to life.
Right.
And you know what really kind of got me the last couple of weeks was, you know, all these people trying to say that Dick Cheney did not deserve a heart.
That's horrible.
Wasn't that terrible?
That's horrible. It's not their decision to make. It's between a patient and the doctor.
They're saying that people who deserved a heart didn't get one simply because he did.
No.
And
I don't buy that.
I mean, you got people like Chris Matthews and, you know, Ed Schultz over there at MSNBC calling for Dick Cheney's death, basically.
Well, and here's the thing, guys. How do we know he didn't get some 70-year-old heart or, you know, 65 or
something? Well, because they told us it was, like, from a 32-year-old.
Oh, well. It doesn't matter to me. But, you know, it's not the government's place to say.
That's exactly the point.
You know,
that's exactly the point.
And it's definitely not MSNBC's place to say.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That was,
go ahead, Danny.
Chris Matthews.
Go ahead, Danny.
A good view of the tolerance of the left.
Oh, yeah.
Cheney shouldn't get a heart.
I know. The real tolerant and loving people of the left. Right. But we, the racists and the bigots and the hateful people,
Yeah, because we're so wealthy. And
I would not even say that about Chris Matthews, though. I would not say he doesn't deserve to get a heart if he needed one.
None of us would say that. That's the whole point. It's like, yeah, we're the ones that are called intolerant, and we're just intolerant bigots and racists, and yet we're not the ones that would say these things, you know, on a normal basis, on an everyday basis. And that's kind of the frustration. But that tells you how deep of a mind hold that the Democratic Party has on some of these people out there. And part of the problem is the culture of Hollywood, because, you know, all these Hollywood stars think this way too. And of course, they're not educated people for the most part, and their opinion doesn't really matter to me, but to some people it matters, you know, because this guy,
you mean like Matt Damon, who sits here and talks about unions and all the teachers unions and
Yeah, those kinds.
Because
so.
He knows so much. I don't get it.
He makes me sick.
I know.
I actually like some of his movies, but he makes me sick.
What'd you say, Abby?
He's sick. I said, I used to think he's cute. He's all of a sudden not cute anymore. Ridiculous.
Yeah. Well, and here's the tolerant culture of Hollywood. If you don't dare, if you live in California and are part of this culture, say anything about being conservative, or you will be blacklisted.
Breitbart. He actually dared to say something.
Yes, and then after Breitbart died, there was actually a producer who works on the Supernatural series came out and said, you know, I'm tired of it. I'm a conservative. But he says, if you say that, he had friends that actually lost their jobs because they dare to be a conservative in Hollywood. And yet we are the intolerant ones. It's like,
right.
No.
There's got to be a law against that, but who would enforce it? That's the problem.
The thing is, you can't call it bigotry. For some reason, it's not bigotry. But it was the left who insisted on this hate crimes law. And the thing is, I know that they can be gotten on hate crimes, but no one that's conservative is so petty to bring up lawsuits about it, you know?
Right. What's the
Dick
law?
Dick Cheney has every right to go out and file a hate crime speech against these guys. But are they? No. Why? Because we're not that petty.
No. Because we have lives.
Right.
You know.
For the most part, yeah.
For the most
that's
part.
That's a good reason.
You know, and
I know this is a random thought. I'm going to throw this out. I've got my Facebook open, and I have the Vigo County for Rick Santorum page. How do I close? So heartbreaking. How do I close it? Do you know?
Did you start it?
Yes.
There should be. There's like a little circle thing up at the top. Like, looks like a little nut wing or something. Is that up
like
there?
Like a gear.
Is that there?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Click that and see if
that's
it lets
your
you delete the page.
It says chat with group, create event, edit group, report group, and leave group.
Oh. And you,
I don't want to leave it because if I leave it, then I really can't do anything with it.
Yeah. You're the one who started it.
Yeah.
You're the admin?
Yes. Oh, well, yeah, okay. I mean, I'm assuming since
then you have administrative rights to. I think what you'll have to do is you'll have to boot all your members first, and then it'll say, "Are you closing the group?" And then yes.
Oh. How do I boot? I don't know how to do this. I just figured this out like 2 weeks ago, and I got this far with it. I wasn't even done inviting everybody.
I know. It's like, oh man.
I know.
This is really that's part of the frustration. Is we were just, I was just getting ready to go into full gear here in Indiana. You know, we collected signatures in January, freezing our butts out there, and so I'm just now getting ready to go through full gear. We're going to get people together, and we're going to start. And then it's like,
I was so excited, like,
yes,
and it like internally, I was so pumped up.
Yes,
and everyone knew it, and you know, all my friends and family, they would ask me, like, okay, so I heard about this. What do you think about that? And this, and I would just get charged up whenever somebody would say that. And now I'm, just have to, like, what am I going to say tomorrow? Because they know, I know that's why my mom hasn't called me, because she knows. I'm
you just have to let them know that you're very disappointed, and you think there were probably some family things, and I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, got to think about what you're going to do. You know, everybody's going to have to come to that decision. I can't make that decision for you. I've been there before, so I kind of know what my decision is, and I've had these thought processes all along, and I've been watching Newt and Mitt, and, you know, kind of, because I used to think I would take Newt over Mitt, but as I watch it go along, I've kind of swung the other way, that I would take Romney over Newt. So, this is, you know, this has been a process for me, and it didn't happen overnight, you know. So that's what everybody's going to need to just take that time for themselves and kind of look at the candidates and be sure and look at their past and what they're saying now, because politicians, and this is my problem with Newt and Mitt, they're politicians to the core, and Ron Paul is too, politician to the core. He plays dirty, deceitful games. I've read some of his emails. They're hateful, and they're meant to stir up and rile people, and I don't like that. You know, I don't like that.
Yeah.
And Newt Gingrich, if he's professing to be a conservative, should never have attacked Rick Santorum with ads.
Ever.
Never. Should not have happened. You know, and yet he did. And but that, you know, that's not the worst part about him. His ego was what I remember from the 90s, because I'm old enough to remember that. Abby,
I just remember my mom always saying that he was an idiot.
He was an idiot.
You remember how I said that I gave my 96 vote to Clinton because because of Newt, when he was trying to impeach him over the same thing he was doing.
Yes.
Oh yeah.
And on Rush Limbaugh today. Rush said he had met with Romney. And,
Newt met with Romney. Yeah.
No, Rush had met with Romney.
Rush had met with Romney. Okay. And about
what? He stopped by. He was doing a fundraiser in the area, and they had a talk after his show. And he said it was real surprising hearing Romney talk, that he did sound conservative, and he was worried about the country and the future of the country for his children and grandchildren, and that he might only be a one-term president because we would have to do such drastic change to save the country.
Well, you know, and I have heard him, Danny, and when I'm listening to him, he sounds good. It's when I go and start looking at what he's done and what he says that I have.
Yeah.
I don't. I
it's when you compare his rhetoric to his actions.
Yes, and I don't trust him. And that and his, a lot of people don't know this, but, you know, when he goes into a state, and that's probably what it wasn't even a half hour, and this Romney kid called me on the phone, said, I'm calling for Mitt Romney, so I don't even want to talk to you. I said, I'm a Rick Santorum supporter. I said, I'm voting for Rick in the primaries. I said, I will vote for Romney in November, but, you know, I don't even want to talk to you. So he said, okay. But those calls usually precede then. If you're in a state that's coming up in the election, the robocalls will start. And you will get anywhere, you know, about two a day until the election time, all from Romney, all negative ads against Rick Santorum. Not one.
And that, pro my friends, is why I don't have a landline.
Yeah, well, okay. I don't get your cell phone number.
No, I don't.
But I'm
not
sure,
listed anywhere.
Because I had seen that on somebody's post where they had got a call where somebody asked them who they were voting for, and they said, you know, Rick, and then they were getting like two calls a day from the Romney campaign, and all negative. And this is what they do in every state, and this is why his favorability ratings have gone down. Because I actually talked to a woman in Illinois. I was actually at the headquarters and called a woman in Illinois, and she was yelling at me about these phone calls that they were getting, and that I just might vote for Obama in November. This is not good for the party, and this is not the first phone call that was like that. Other people have gotten them too, and yet it doesn't seem to faze Mitt Romney or the establishment that this is that they're doing this, you know. And that to me is concerning, is an issue. But Danny, I have heard Mitt give speeches, and I like what he says, and I watched him and said, well, maybe he won't be so bad. But then you go back and you look at his record, and I'm just like, I don't know, because he hurt small businesses in Massachusetts, and they
he creates that pause in deciding anything, because you know what, he himself is very indecisive. He becomes.
Yeah.
You know, he goes out and he's pro-choice, and next thing you know, he's pro-life, and then next thing you know, it all depends on, for Pete's sake, I'm running for president, so I can't have illegals working on my house. You know,
yeah.
It all comes down to the election for him. If the thing we need to know is the integrity and the character of the man. And then when we dig deeper into the integrity of him, we see stuff we don't like.
Right.
Because his integrity only shows those things that are deceptive and eluding. They're an elusive, illusional.
What is the, to piggyback what you're saying, what is her name? Tall, thin, blonde, works on Fox, and loves Chris Christie. You know who I'm talking about.
Oh,
Ann
Coulter.
Ann Coulter. Okay. So she gets on. This was a couple of, I knew I'd say Chris Christie, and you know exactly what I was talking about.
Uh-huh.
But she said, and it was a couple of months ago, they were talking about, is Mitt Romney really conservative and all this stuff. She gets on there. She had an interview on Fox, and it was on the morning, Fox and Friends. And she said that she told Romney, she said, you better be as conservative as I'm telling people that you are.
Yeah.
She said that on the news, on the morning news. And I'm like, doesn't that just ring a bell? Doesn't that warn someone? Hello?
Yeah, why would she back him if she didn't trust him to be that way? See, this is what
you
I was having
better be
problems
as
with.
Conservative as I'm telling people you are. Or
see,
else.
This goes
like,
back to Rick Santorum when he backed Romney after McCain dropped, or after he dropped, or before he dropped out last election, because he believed him. He was saying the same thing. He better be as conservative as I think he is, but he turned out not to be, which is why Rick ran in the first place.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly, and it's But yeah, it just kind of takes us back to that square where we're just going to need to reassess and just as we go forward here, kind of decide, you know, how we're going to go about what we're going to go about.
I'm not even so sure I won't join the Ron Paul camp.
I know, somebody actually posted that on Facebook today.
Tell you this, I'm open-minded. I need to pray about it tonight. I need to get my mind right because I don't feel comfortable voting for someone who I just don't feel comfortable having in office. I mean, but
right.
I don't. But what are my choices? And that's the problem. Is
right,
right. Exactly.
What are my choices? Now we're back to the lesser of two evils yet again in another election. The lesser of two evils, and I don't like it.
No, none of us do. And
see, the thing is, see how I see it with Ron Paul is he can try to defund Israel and stuff. It ain't gonna work if the Congress doesn't back him. So
well, it seems to be working just fine with Obama doing whatever he wants to. with the money.
Well, see, this is the thing. This is the big thing.
But
when
Ron Paul is there,
Ron Paul won't be funding Egypt and Iran and everywhere else either.
No,
which is what Obama's doing.
No, but he's
also probably not electable either.
And I think
we lost Abby.
Did we lose Abby?
Okay,
yeah. Well, maybe she'll call back in. I know she was having a hard time. I told her we were having our show tonight. And, Billy, I don't know if you heard me, I started with the Constitution on our Senator Lugar here in Indiana, who no longer lives in our state and is not technically constitutionally able to represent us because he's not living here in this election year.
I thought he was retiring.
I wish.
I used to call him Lex Lugar.
I wish, because he's obviously not doing any. This is Abby calling back in. He's not doing anything, you know, to help us stop
this crazy. I don't know. What did I miss?
Not much. I was just telling her about Senator Lugar, how I started the program, about the constitutionality of.
Oh, we're starting all over again. Is that what it is?
No, Billy
not really.
She's
filling me in because I was late.
Yeah, my co-host was a little bit late, so I had to kind of fill her in. What I started it with, you know, was just that bit of the Constitution and what's going on here in Indiana. Because I am going to vote for Murdoch in the May 8th primary also. So,
yeah, that's one of the most important things we can do is concentrate on House and Senate races. And
you're exactly right.
Even work on people that's not in your area.
Yeah.
Because you can do it with social media now.
Yes, and there are several groups out there that are screening and vetting these people, even on Facebook and different places. So you can go and reference or just go. I would say go to their webpage and look at where they stand on the issues and, you know, check them out before you actually get behind one. But we definitely need to have a change in Washington, and it doesn't look like we're going to get it from the presidency so much, but we have a chance. We could do the Senate and the House. But again, it's going to take a lot of work because Romney's not going to pull. Billy, you know this. They're not going to come out. And so we have to somehow stress the importance of getting these people to the polls because we certainly can't stand another 4 years of Obama with any Democratic control of either house. That's all in real jeopardy now because
the way I see it is these are people who, when Santorum is in the race, they had a heart marked around November 4th on their calendar.
Yep.
Today they blacked it out.
Yep.
And said, I'm not going.
Yep.
Speaking of black, I'm wearing black tomorrow, just saying.
You're in mourning.
Yeah, it is that deep. I told my boss, I got the little message or whatever on my phone, and I said, I think I'm going to take a bereavement day tomorrow. And he looked at me like, oh, my God, who died? You know, like, oh, I'm so sorry for your loss kind of thing. And I said, well, you know, Rick Santorum suspended his campaign. He's like, really? So it's just really,
It's shock. It's shock is what it is because it was, I mean, none of us were expecting it because the last we heard, he's going on to Texas.
Yeah.
That was the last thing I heard, you know.
And last that we heard was Texas was going to be winner take all. Finally, that it
yeah,
had
they,
decided.
They called that meeting to try to go winner take all.
Yeah.
And I don't know what happened in that meeting. I don't know if they ever had that meeting, but I know that's what they were trying to do. And then this, I mean, just out of the blue, it's just.
Totally.
Well, see, the
yeah.
funny thing is they were talking about, you know, when a campaign is suspended, it means that they're in debt. They need to pay off all their debts before they can end their campaign legitimately.
Uh-huh.
So actually, I think Santorum finally fell into the red and noticed all of his attack ads that were coming at him, and he can't keep up.
Yeah, I know the campaign actually sent an email out today requesting funds because they are in debt.
Yeah.
But I don't know if that was – I really feel it was more particularly with little Bella being sick.
Yeah.
And
I would think so
because especially looking at the calendar, knowing the strong month that we were going to have, May was just going to rock.
Right.
And so as far as generating support and generating funds, that would come if we could just hang on, till Texas. But I agree with you. I think that deep down, and it's not Bella's fault. I mean,
it's a lot of
pressure for a little girl to have on her. This is not her fault. It's just a decision of what's more important. It's God, family, then country.
Yeah.
And that's still, I mean, I can just hang on to that and I can sit well with it, but oh my.
It just takes time. It takes some time because you are grieving. It's a shock and it's a grief.
Right.
And, you know, we have been through it before, like I said, with Herman Cain, because we put a lot of time into that campaign also. And
That
came out of the blue because we had heard on Friday that he was going to continue in the race because the allegations weren't true. And what did you hear, Danny? Go ahead, Danny.
And, well, he was going to have a big announcement, something important Saturday, and then he came out and said he was
suspending.
Well, see, even Elvita King, when she talked,
during,
before he got on the stage, she was talking about him staying in.
Right. So something
and she
happened.
She didn't even know. They were in the dark.
Everybody was in the dark, even Colonel Steele, who was part of the campaign at that point. So it came out of the blue just like this. There was something that happened, and we'll probably never know. I mean, there was speculation that there were threats on his family. And I know his wife had heart trouble, and she was not the type to be in the spotlight. So, you know, but we'll always have those questions that we won't have answers for. But, you know, we just have to trust that they made the decision that was best for them and their family. And it kind of leaves us hanging because we really don't have that next go-to person. You know, Herman Cain.
Well, let me ask you this from a political standpoint, and I'm kind of new as far as officially working with the campaign, but I just wonder, let's say that maybe in 2016, let's say that Santorum does want to run for that election, so could we, like, To put him in a position where he can financially be the powerhouse, and
he has a
name now.
Yeah. You'd have to start fundraising at least a year in advance. You'd have to get him on the ballots. Part of the problem was he would have won Virginia. Virginia is actually where he lives. That would have been a home win for him, but they didn't make the ballot there. I was told they had the signatures and somebody turned them in late. That's what I've heard, you know, that's the rumor that I heard, but, you know, he wasn't on the ballot, not that DC really matters much. There was just a couple of places he didn't have the delegates, like in Ohio. So, you know, you have to start well in advance. You have to start getting your ground game going. So you've got to start your fundraising probably a couple years, I imagine, when you're going to run, because you have to get that money built up so you can actually open offices and get people on the ground and going. But, you know, that was the neat thing about this campaign and in Herman Cain's campaign. It was the people who were giving him the win.
Oh,
you know,
it wasn't
the money. Yes. It was it was you and I and everybody who's been out there in the trenches willing to work for these people, because these are truly good men, you know, who really, really care about you and I and about this country. And, you know, Romney may, I mean, like Danny said, I mean, he sounds good when he talks, but you know, he doesn't know even how to relate to you or I.
Does he sound good when he talks? Because I don't think he does.
I've heard a couple of his speeches that I thought, well, that sounds pretty good, and that's a good idea.
Yeah,
that would work. But, yeah.
I think about that with Obama, too. I'm like, oh, that was pretty smooth. And then I have to snap myself out of it, like, listen to what he's actually telling you.
Right, exactly. That's what it is.
Okay, that's a whole different story.
It's that drug inside the Kool-Aid to me.
I go on record, I didn't vote for Obama in 2008, and I was blogging weeks before the election about his connections and who he really was. And I was told I was a racist and a bigot because I wasn't voting for him. And it's like, no, I'm not. I just have my facts.
Wow.
I'm just telling you the facts, you know, but unfortunately, people don't like those things called facts, and they even now, if you go somewhere like Huffington Post, because every once in a while I'll go on there because it's a pretty liberal place, and I'll put a comment. I'll put a comment, and I will have like 20 replies, and usually they're calling me names and all kinds of stuff. It's just,
and then telling you things about your mom you didn't even know were true.
Wow. Somebody told me I had must have an eighth grade education. It's like,
Oh, wow.
Yeah, right. That's why I'm a registered nurse.
That's rough.
Education. You know, I just laugh at them because, you know, that's how ridiculous they are with their arguments. You know, got to come back and say, well, you must be stupid because you think this way. And it's like, no, I just.
No, you must be stupid for drinking the Kool-Aid. I would have dumped out the cup.
Oh, I like my Kool-Aid. No. I haven't drank Kool-Aid in a long time, actually.
I'd rather have a high C.
She likes high C. Well, I mean, as far as fundraising and stuff goes, you think that that would start maybe as soon as next year, the year after?
Yeah.
In theory.
If your candidate...
Or whoever.
Yes. Well, this is why Mitt Romney's been running since 2008. He never stopped. You don't stop. You know, you get your ground game going and you get your organization going ahead of time. And, you know, that does take money, unfortunately. Just think what Rick Santorum could do with a little money.
It's
phenomenal. It's phenomenal. And or even a little good media coverage, you know. But the media didn't want him, so, you know, couldn't have them say anything good about him. Except for Piers Morgan.
Right.
Piers Morgan likes Rick Santorum. He thinks he's a good guy. So.
Didn't he do a good job with that interview with he had Rick and Karen, and then later on they brought on some of the kids?
Yeah.
I don't know. I thought that was – I was kind of sort of waiting for, like, the big boom. Like, it was going to be a big problem. But it was really a good interview, I felt.
Yes, and Piers Morgan actually tweeted after that he thought Rick Santorum was a really good guy. So, you know, when they can impress the liberal commentators that they're really good
that
people.
That it's trouble. Yeah, and it's trouble for the current president.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that too. We can't have that. We can't have trouble for the president. And the reason... Herman Cain was troubled because he was a black man, and it doesn't hold true that the Tea Party is racist if they put up a black man for a candidate. So he had to go before the first vote was cast. And that's when they started dragging out all these women with all these accusations with no, you know, no facts to back them up. And it was pretty sad. But and any other time, it'd be like what you got down in Florida. You'd have Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson, and oh, you're being racist. But since he was an Oreo, it's like, yeah, okay. And our president, who's half white, I'm sorry, it's just, you know, their logic doesn't hold water. It just doesn't.
No, they're using people.
Yeah.
And it's psychological warfare.
Yes.
And that's what they're using. And that's it's working. It's really working because the psychological, like even the whole, like we've talked about before, Brenda, like the idea that you're born gay.
Yeah.
All they needed was one psychologist to say so, and boom, everyone fell onto the train.
Right.
And
without
said,
copies or anything to compare that. And
right.
And so then everybody cites that same thing, and then they just keep citing. If they say it over and over enough, it must be true. You know, that's
the
what
person who said so has a PhD, so they have to be right. You know.
Oh yeah, right. Like global warming. Yeah, let's cover up some of the facts.
But that's exactly all it takes. It's all it takes is that PhD behind their name, because people who haven't gone to college, who are sitting on an eighth grade education, who may have gone to a very liberal college, they think that means that's like the most important thing.
Right. Right. And healthcare for everybody sounds good, but they don't understand how it's working in the background because they're not in the medical field. They're not in these positions to see you know, or even understand sometimes what's going on. And unfortunately, they get so emotional because it's always, remember, Billy, it's the emotional argument that they make. This is what the liberals do. It's not logical.
Right.
It's not factual. It's the,
wait a minute.
I got to play the Reagan clip. Here we go. Abby, I don't know if you
Back in 1927, an American socialist, Norman Thomas, six times candidate for president on the Socialist Party ticket, said the American people would never vote for socialism. But he said under the name of liberalism, the American people will adopt every fragment of the socialist program. There are many ways in which our government has invaded the precincts of private citizens, the method of earning a living. Our government is in business to the extent of owning more than 19,000 businesses covering 47 different lines of activity. This amounts to a fifth of the total industrial capacity of the United States. But at the moment, I'd like to talk about another way, because this threat is with us and at the moment is more imminent. One of the traditional methods of imposing statism or socialism on a people has been by way of medicine. It's very easy to disguise a medical program as a humanitarian project. Most people are a little reluctant to oppose anything that suggests medical care for people who possibly can't afford it. Now, the American people, if you put it to them about socialized medicine and gave them a chance to choose, would unhesitatingly vote against it. We had an example of this under the Truman administration. It was proposed that we have a compulsory health insurance program for all people in the United States, and of course, the American people unhesitatingly rejected this. So, with the American people on record as not wanting socialized medicine, Congressman Farrand introduced the Farrand Bill. This was the idea that all people of Social Security age should be brought under a program of compulsory health insurance. Now, this would not only be our senior citizens, this would be the dependents and those who are disabled. This would be young people if they are dependents of someone eligible for Social Security. Now, Congressman Farrand brought the program out on that idea of just for that particular group of people. But Congressman Farrand was subscribing to this foot-in-the-door philosophy because he said, if we can only break through and get our foot inside the door, then we can expand the program after that.
Ronald Reagan in 19, I believe it was 64.
Isn't that scary?
I mean, I'm just
describing.
Yeah. What is that? Like, what is that? Okay. Yeah, I'm just about to bust into tears here because our country has gone so far that, you know, we've got to strike back, I don't think Mitt Romney understands how far, because he thinks Obama's a good guy, and that scares
me. It's not about good guy.
No.
That's not. Mm-mm.
No, and you know, maybe, you know, he might be the nicest person in the world, but he doesn't have America's best interests at heart. You know, I just do not feel that he does, simply because of the people who he associated with. And the teachings that he goes by, you know, the end justifies the means in the Alinsky Academy, which is what Obama worked in Chicago, it's just very scary, especially when you hear, you know, Ronald Reagan talking about it in the 60s.
Warning us.
We see how far we've come. Yeah. Oh yeah. And he's not.
Well,
the
yeah.
Only one.
You know what? If Santorum would have made one commercial using that clip, it would have meant a lot. It would have probably put him way
True.
Over the edge. And I think that clip right there that you have
mm-hmm.
needs to be put out there so many more times, everywhere.
Yeah. And the whole speech is actually on YouTube, but I edited it to that portion because it just speaks so eloquently to what's going on and has been going on. This is, like I said, it's been going on for years, and we've been just, it's that foot in the door philosophy.
That goes back to what Rick Santorum was saying
when this whole thing came about a few years ago, and he was in the green room talking to Juan Williams when he was at Fox. He talked about this when he was in Illinois, and he said, you know, he said, this is, the American people aren't going to buy this, Juan. And then Juan Williams said, well, when the American people get a taste of it, they're going to be hooked.
Right, that's what they're hoping for. They're hoping they were hoping that we'd get a taste for it before we rebelled against it. But it hasn't. We won't see the full effects of Obamacare until 2013. And it's already
bad. A few months away.
It's already bad, and it's going to get worse.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, everybody's health insurance costs went up, and that's a direct result of Obamacare. They might try to say not, but it is. It's a direct result of Obamacare. And the quality of your care will go down as a direct result of Obamacare. And it's going to cost us, I don't know, they're putting out new numbers today, billions of dollars that we don't have, you know.
Christy Risk in Terre Haute last week at the Tea Party rally, Christy Risk quoted a letter that she got in the mail, I think that day or the day before, about her health care. I think she might work at FedEx or something like that, and her husband or city. And anyways, but it said, I wouldn't say, due to the uncertainty in the healthcare industry at this present time, your premium has changed to blah, blah, blah.
Oh, yeah. Yep. And we didn't, like where I work, we didn't get raises last year because of the uncertainty. The government was messing with their rate. I work with oncology, cancer patients, radiation oncology.
Oh, yeah.
And the government was making cuts to that. They only paid 20 cents on the dollar as it is with Medicare, but they were going to make cuts because they were lumping us with radiology, which is the taking of x-rays and not the delivering of radiation for, you know, treatment purposes. And so that was an effect on us already from the government. And people don't understand this. They don't understand that the whole quality of their care is going to go down because the government doesn't manage money well. They have no business managing money. It's not constitutional. Healthcare is not a guaranteed right. You know, do I think it's great if people can have healthcare? Yes. But I think in order to address the problem with health care, you have to go for the cost of health care, which Obamacare doesn't do anything to affect the cost of delivering that care. And
that takes me back to the whole Kool-Aid drinkers again, because when they were doing the Supreme Court thing last week or 2 weeks ago or whenever it was, they were showing people who were, you know, pro health care at the Supreme Court and stuff, ticketing, and everyone,
well, you know, they paid those people.
It's a right. It's a right. Healthcare should be a right. And it's like, you know, the word should be should give you a clue that it's not.
Yeah.
You're saying let's change the rules and make them what you want them to be.
Well, then my car insurance ought to be a right and you ought to pay for it.
Yeah.
You know, I have to have car insurance. Well, then you need to pay for it. You know,
well, see, that leads all the way, that's
the
whole snowball.
Yeah.
That leads into everything. And that's what healthcare, once it's in, if it's enacted, that's what it will do. It will snowball because everyone will say everything's right. My house mortgage, my mortgage payments are right. My, you know, the land that
other people.
I tried
to say that already.
I know. That's what I'm saying.
It takes away the responsibility that you have as a citizen. You know, you need to, people have responsibilities for their action. And the whole liberal agenda is based on there being no consequences for your actions whatsoever and no responsibility. And that that will lead to the downfall.
Accountability is nil.
Yes, and that's what leads to the downfall of countries is when you take no responsibility for your actions and there are no consequences. Just like the Black Panthers in Florida, they should be prosecuted now for their inflammatory statements and their call for war, and yet they won't arrest them, but they'll arrest that priest that's praying on the sidewalk.
Sure they will.
And that's something really wrong with that, you know.
Well, see, I have a really big problem with what's going on there, because, you know, they come out And they someone has to go and do something about it. But Eric Holder and the DOJ in the hate crimes division have come out publicly and literally said any crime that is white on black is going to be prosecuted by the DOJ. Any crime that is black on white will not be.
Oh,
and
yeah.
To me, a hate crime is a hate crime, no matter what the color of the skin doing the crime.
Right.
You can't protect a black man who's committing a crime simply because his skin is black. Just like you can't protect a white man who's doing a crime simply because he's white.
Right.
And,
then,
and that's where I get really upset is when they say, that's justified. Yeah, that's right. You know, we've got too few minorities in this world. So, you know what? If they kill a majority, they should have a parade thrown for them.
Which is totally wrong. I mean, it's wrong from the Christian point of view, but we've all heard Reverend Wright preach from his pulpit in their so-called Christian churches. You know, it's just wrong. I mean, there is a right and a wrong. Whether you want to biblically go with a right and wrong, or so socially, there needs to be a right and wrong, because otherwise you have total chaos if you don't have a distinct line of right and wrong. And our forefathers, and I played the Declaration of Independence speech that Rick gave at in Oklahoma at the Oral Roberts University, which was a great speech, and where he starts out talking about our rights come from God, so the government can't take them away. But, you know, with rights, there comes responsibilities.
Right.
And just like driving is not actually a right. It's a privilege. But, you know, so many people think that's a right, but it's a privilege, and that it can be revoked. And healthcare also is more of a privilege than a right, because they didn't have healthcare while they had doctors that, or it could have just been your neighbor who, you know, happened to have his knife.
Well, and it's just like,
out, you know, I mean,
it's Rick has always said, you know, whenever the government gives you a right, look out, because they can take it away.
Absolutely.
Whoever gives you something, they can take it away, and they'll tell you all the conditions of that right, that so-called right. Forget it.
Right, exactly. It's not a right if someone else is telling you how to do it. You know,
that's right.
You don't have a right to go to the doctor
unless
they tell you you have to take a cab to get there.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like with, you know, they gave the money to General Motors, and then you have to build this electric car that doesn't work. The car doesn't work. So what did it do?
And like
it
cost, I said,
when was
money. That electric car?
It's
from the 40s?
No, that one.
100 years ago, they came out with an electric car that did the same thing.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing, and it's made in Japan. It's a Toyota Prius, 50 miles to the gallon. Has a battery, but the battery charges when the motor's running. You don't ever have to plug it in. If you're doing under like 30 miles an hour, it's on battery power. And then if you get up and as you rev it up, it goes to engine power and gasoline power. Pretty cool car, 50 miles to the gallon. But that's free enterprise working. It's not the government out there trying to push
and that's,
something.
And that's the ticket right there. That's the ticket.
Yes, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And which we may even get one. I know it's made in Japan, but, you know, we do have Toyota plants, and they do make the Siennas, and they do make the trucks here in America. The little car is made in Japan. But you know very well that our car companies could make those here. And make it. You know, we have the best technology in the world here. And instead, you've got Chevy making an electric car that will only go 26 miles, and then you have to charge it for 10 hours to make it run. Like, yeah, I'm going to get one of those.
Yeah, that's practical.
That's going to get me where? No.
Well, and the thing is, and that's just it. It's not the idea of it. It's not a bad idea. It makes sense. I mean, no one wants to, you know, have things that are more expensive to operate. No one wants to have things that are
you know, bad for the environment, whatever the case may be.
Right.
But it's just the fact of the market's not ready. And when I
right.
say that, I just mean that they haven't, the technology hasn't met the demand yet. So the price isn't
yeah.
right. So the demand isn't. I mean, all,
right.
it all works together for good, but you got to let it work together.
And you, need,
and you can't
the,
rush that.
And through the private markets. You know,
yeah.
you have to make it beneficial. And it's got to be something. You know, I'm sorry, but we like our gas-guzzling cars in America because, you know why?
Yeah, we do.
Because we have sportsmen. Because
they're cool.
We have fishermen. And you have to have those V8s to pull those boats and to pull those RVs.
Because they're cool. They're toys. They're,
yeah.
Little boys dream of them when they're five
Absolutely.
Years old.
Absolutely.
They have them on their walls.
Absolutely.
Posters of them. Come on.
Yeah, and I'm sorry.
Cars, I play with them, too.
But, you know, horses gave off more CO2 carbon
mm-hmm.
dioxide than what the cars do. And
yeah.
But it's a matter of the government wanting to force us, and they're trying to do it, you know, this is where the UN comes in. They want to make this a world thing. But you know very well, China doesn't follow any of those laws. And, you know, they have more people than we do, and they're polluting the environment while we're losing jobs because of the EPA and the government regulations that are overboard. You know, I have nothing... And I think most businesses don't have any problem with some regulations for cleaner air. You know, that's not an issue. Fine. You can do it cleaner, do it. But it's
sure.
the over-regulation that is killing the jobs. And it's just government out of control. Anytime the government gets involved, it's going to be out of control. Too much money in one place. Too much money in one place is never a good thing because it's where the corrupt and the greedy people will be, you know, putting their hands out for the piece of that pie. So but yeah, I'm glad you called in. It does have to talk, doesn't it, Abby?
Because I felt, do you understand how bad you felt
yeah.
this before, but
yeah.
I felt so sad.
Yeah.
Oh ridiculous.
Yeah.
To the
point
where my liberal friends have messaged me and they're like, I'm really sorry.
Because
can you believe my liberal friends have messaged me? They're like, I'm sorry
then,
that you're
upset. And the Newt and Paul butts are out there trying to get us to vote for their people.
Jerks.
Are you guys just stupid? Really?
Jerks.
We do not want to hear this, at least not today. You know, go away.
Yeah.
In fact, I have not been on Twitter since he made the announcement because I just cannot deal with it. I'm afraid I would say something really mean.
I haven't been on Twitter. I've been on Facebook this whole time, but
yeah.
I just...
I think I'm just going to wash
my face and go to bed.
I'm thinking, okay, Twitter will just have to wait until I'm more under control.
I'm going to be doing more cleaning once I get off the phone.
That's awesome.
I'm going to have a clean house. Yeah, I got to work tomorrow. So I actually only made the show for 2 hours tonight, Billy, just because I do have to get up and go to work in the morning. But
wow.
So we got about 20 minutes left. But yeah. It's
well,
just
I will have to excuse myself so I can get things wrapped up because I got to get to work too. But I'm very glad that this was on and I could participate. It was great.
Great. It was nice
it was
talking
great.
To you.
You have a good night.
So you take care.
I will, and stay in touch. I'll keep everything. Oh, well, I don't know how to shut it off.
Well, starting tomorrow, I'm having Nobomination Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday this week.
Okay, for an hour or for the
3 hours each.
3 hours each. Wow, woman.
Yeah.
You got a lot to
go
say.
Go get them.
This week.
Oh,
yeah.
Believe me, you know me.
Oh, I know you. Yes. And we get on and we have these chats, Abby, you know, and she has her show and it's mostly about things that have gone on during the week or things that the administration
okay.
has done. So anytime you feel like calling in, just check us out.
I will.
Same number.
Michael's going to get in touch with us, Billy, to see where we're going with our blog talk shows. But, but yeah, thanks for calling in, Abby, and joining us.
Thank you very much. Is it the same number, by the way?
It is.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll
Mine
save it my phone.
Strictly anti-Obama. It's not specifically against or for any candidate, but it's anti-Obama.
Yes.
Oh, so I'm welcome. This is awesome.
Absolutely.
One more thing before I sign off. You would really appreciate this, okay?
Okay.
Okay, so I was at work, and my manager, his son, who's 8,
After school today, he got out of school a little early, so he had to stop by the bank for like an hour or something. So this 8-year-old is just hanging out with us at the bank. And then the 8-year-old says, because he hears me saying presidential campaign, and the 8-year-old says, I want Barack Obama to be president again. And you, yeah, pin drop in the whole bank, and everyone just stopped like, are you serious? And so my branch manager says to his son, he goes, well, he's really not doing a very good job. And then the little boy said, well, if he's not president again, then Michelle Obama can't be on the Disney Channel anymore.
I know, that's really sad.
And I'm like, are you really serious? Oh my! And I said, you know, that's probably the most honest thing I've heard all day. Honesty from an 8-year-old.
So
they're
on Disney Channel saying, we need you to talk to your parents about getting him reelected.
That's
actually
right.
Michelle Obama asked the kids to go tell their grandparents.
Yeah.
Which was just like, wow, you know, it was just like unbelievable, unreal.
The level
they will stoop to try to influence the voters. And this kind of gives you a clue what we're going to be up against in November. It's not going to be pretty. But
Michelle Obama can't be on the Disney Channel anymore. I about fell out. Oh, I just about came unglued. Oh, I can't believe.
Well, you know, and here's the thing. I mean, a lot of people talk bad about her, but I think it's a good thing that she's trying to encourage kids to eat healthy. It's not a good thing.
Her platform is good. That's not the problem I have with her.
Yeah. So
at all.
That's not what I have with her either. But, you know, as far as what she does with the Disney Channel, that's a good thing. But I always try to look for the positive.
Yeah.
you know, that's what you try to do. But it's not always possible. But that is what she does with Disney, I think, is a good thing. But telling kids to go have your parents or your grandparents vote for somebody is that's just beyond the pale as far as I'm concerned. But thank you for calling in.
I thought I would throw that out there. I figured you'd like.
Yeah, give us a call anytime. We obviously like to chat, and we do this. This is what we do. So.
Oh, I think I would be. Yeah, it'd be a good time.
Yeah.
All right, well, you guys have a great night.
All right, thanks, Abby.
Talk to you later. Bye bye.
Okay, bye bye. All right, I'm just going to play a little music here because I've lost Billy somewhere. So we're going to make a little song here, one of my favorite songs, tribute to Rick Santorum and his Made in America plan.
Back and says you've been saved. You won't find them in any
Well, it's been a rough day for all of us, but we are Americans, and we're made in America, and we're tough. We will go down fighting to our last breath if we have to. We're on a mission here to save our country. You know, when things got tough for George Washington, he got tougher. And that's what we here in America are going to need to do. And we who have been fighting so hard for the cause to get a good candidate for our presidency, we're going to have to really examine where we're at and what is best, not just for us, but for our country, because our very future is at stake with what's going on now under our current administration. And so I just encourage everybody to, you know, say your prayers, go through your grieving process. It may take you just a day or two. Some people already switched sides. Those people obviously didn't have time invested. If you've invested time, it is a loss. It is a grief. And you need to go through those stages to come to terms with that grief. And don't do anything out of anger. And as you come, do your research, be informed what's going on. Look at your candidates, look at their past, look at the issues, and make your decisions. In the end, we have one goal, and that goal is to change the administration in Washington, D.C., and get the socialists out of control and out of power, so that we as a country will survive and that the world will survive in the coming days. I'm going to just give a plug out for Billy. Apparently her phone died, but she's going to be doing Obama Nation Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday this week from 8 to 11 p.m., talking about all things that are an abomination under this administration. And whatever other topics you might want to discuss, you know, just feel free to call in. We do have pretty open shows and like to hear from our listeners. I'm not going to list any other programs at this point because, like I said, I'm not really sure where the Blog Talk Radio is going to go. Michael's going to be getting with me here in the next few days. If he does decide to continue, we will probably continue with Women Patriots. We will be pushing the message of the current issues of the day and what's happening and where the candidates are standing and or maybe just what we need to do as individuals to make change in the future and in this upcoming election. So I want to thank everybody who has tuned in tonight. I am calling it an early night just because I do have to get up and go to work in the morning for a girl who's on vacation this week. So I really appreciate your tuning in. It's not all lost. As long as we as citizens are willing to step up to the plate and do what we need to do, this country will stand. I'm going to see what other, I'll play one more song as we go out. I'm going to take this one as my little Alan Jackson song, talking about the little man in the small towns in America that have been victim of the policies of the government and the big corporations that have taken over. And that's if I can find it, I'm going to play it. There it is. So coming at your way, a little Alan Jackson. He has a little narrative to start explaining why he wrote this song. And thank you all for tuning in and have a good night.
A while back, I just needed to get away. And I got in my car one day. It just started heading south. I didn't know where I was going. I just stopped, picked up an atlas so I wouldn't get lost, but I didn't go back to my hometown, but I went in that direction and through a lot of old areas that I'd traveled through, I guess in search of something, in search of a simpler time in my life or whatever. But I went through a lot of small towns that reminded me of where I was raised and places I'd come from, and it was sad because I realized how much they'd changed since I'd been back in those areas, and a lot of places were sad because a lot of them seemed dried up. You know, it was like a lot of the small town businesses and the mom and pop stores and the independence of some of the people who had actually built those towns because of that. They were having trouble staying alive, staying in business because of all the big chains coming in, everything that takes over these days. And I think it's a very colorful and important part of American history, and I hate to see it going away, and I hope it doesn't. And I just wanted to write this song about it, and we made this video in an attempt to recapture some of those scenes and feelings that inspired the song about the little man.
I remember walking round the court square sidewalks, looking in windows, things I couldn't want. There's Johnson's Hardware and Morgan's Jewelry and the Ole King's Apothecary. They were the little man, the little man. I go back now, the stores are empty, except an old Coke sign dated 1950. Poured it up like they never existed, or renovated and called historic districts. There goes the little man, there goes the little man. Now the court square's just a set of streets that people go around, but they seldom think about the little man that built this town before the big money shut him down and killed the little man. Oh, the little man. He pumped your gas and he cleaned your glass. One cold rainy night he fixed your flat. A new store came where you do it yourself. You buy a lotto ticket and food off the shelf. Forget the little man. Forget about that little man. He hung on there for a few more years. He couldn't sell Slurpees, he wouldn't sell beer. Now the bank rents a station to a man down the road, and they sell Velvet Elvis secondhand clothes. There goes the little man, there goes another little man. Now the court square's just a set of streets that people go around, but they seldom think about the little man that built this town before the big money shut him down and killed the little man. Oh, the little man. Concrete strip, you can buy the whole world in just one trip. You save a penny cause it's jumbo size. They don't even realize they're killing the little man. Oh, the little man. Now the court square's just a set of streets that people go around, but they seldom think about the little man that built this town before the big money shut him down and killed the little man. Oh, the little man. It wasn't long ago when I was a child, an old black man came, his mule and his plow. He broke the ground where we grew our garden, back before we'd all forgotten about the little man, the little man. Long live the little man. God bless the little man.
Thank you, everyone, and have a good night.